The Rundown, Part 6, A Far Lost Story, by John Miro.
Twilight fell upon the darkening road. I found myself again alone. Streetlights went out by one, by two, by three. Now reveled in the shadows that had grown. Yes, I reveled in the darkness I'd known.
Nick heard his voice shouting a mayday to control, but all his focus was on the stick he was holding with both hands now, pulling with everything he had to land Willer instead of crash her. The pier exploded in size as Willer fell, seesawing as Nick fought to keep the ship's nose pointed at the center of the pier. Then they hit. The tough little ship held together as it plowed a furrow through the upper exterior of the pier. After seconds that seemed like lifetimes, Willer came to a stop, half buried in the shattered top deck of the pier. Alarms, meaningless behind the pounding of his heart and the whine in his ears from the overload of the angry wind and the sickly metal sounds of destruction. He scanned the controls around him, but ship systems were gone. All the hollow fields had winked out and most of the instruments around him were blank screens. Nick wiped blood out of his eyes with trembling fingers. He hissed as the motion pulled a fragment of cockpit glass out of his forehead, but quickly forgot it and stared ahead out the bent cockpit windows. Willer's nose was hanging out over empty air. The ship had only stopped when it wedged in between machinery at the foot of H and I, two of the smaller docks jutting out from the side of the pier, so very close to a long drop. It was a miracle he'd gotten them down in one piece. Hell, it was a long list of miracles. A miracle the gunfire or the glass hadn't ended them all. A miracle he'd stopped Willer before tumbling off the side. A miracle his father had survived the Civil War to teach him how to fly well enough to do that. Thank you, Dad, he thought, and shakily slapped the circular release on his chest to free himself from the safety harness. He craned his neck to stare out his side of the cockpit. Pesh, have you got eyes on them? Whatever they did powered us down, and they're gonna be coming back. We need to get the hell out of— Nick turned his head to stare out of his partner's side of the cockpit, and there was the tanker. No, gunship now, he corrected himself. It was fighting the heavy winds, but it was bigger than Willer and had a lot more thrust to do it. In a few minutes, it would be floating in front of them again, the cargo door on the far side open, and the gunmen standing in it facing them. Nick opened his mouth to tell his lazy blimp of a partner to get his ass in gear. They needed to get up and out before the assholes bearing down on them could open fire again. He tore his eyes from the viewport to glare at his partner. But Pesh was gone. Pieces of him were dripping down the wall behind him. One eye remained open, staring back at Nick in surprise. His guts were steaming where a dozen pieces of glass had skewered through him. A high-caliber slug had hit him in the middle. His ass end and both tails were just gone. Nick felt hot tears, felt his chest explode. He stumbled and fell to the floor, staring at what was left of his best friend. Over the roar of the wind and the whine of the attacking ship's engines, another sound chirped. Laughter. Nick moved his head slowly back to the prisoner enclosure. Roland Byrd was free. The glass wall destroyed. He was pointing at Pesh's body with a long piece of bloody glass he'd just dug out of his own shoulder, and he was laughing so hard tears of joy lit up his cheeks. "Look at all that steam," Byrd gasped. "Be a while before that guy's bones are thorn-chilled." Nick's sob screamed, the unintelligible roar destroying his throat. He launched himself at Roland, lost in mindless rage. Roland batted his hands away effortlessly, blazingly fast, and then brought his fist back across Nick's jaw. He saw stars, felt himself flying through the air, lost the air in his trembling lungs as he was slammed into the instrument panel at the front of the cockpit. Precious seconds later, the sound of the airlock whining open, the skitter of the tiles reforming themselves into a ramp down to the pier, brought Nick out of his haze, and he stumbled forward after Byrd. He was through the corridor and halfway down the ramp before he remembered his gun stowed back in the cockpit. He couldn't turn away now, couldn't risk Byrd being out of his sight. Halfway down the ramp, the wind grabbed him and tossed him into the air. Obligingly, it slammed him into Roland's back at high velocity. They went down in a heap, skittering their separate ways on the exposed surface of the pier. Roland was hammered into one of the tanks at the foot of Dock H. Nick was sent tumbling past, rolling head over heels down the dock. Only the searing shockwave of heat from the tanker's jets saved Nick's life, still turning into position at the end of the dock and stopping him from tumbling down and away. Nick knew the pier better than most. His dad had ferried boats off the pier until the day he died. Before the scalding heat of the jets let up enough for the winds to finish the job and send him to his death, Nick crawled to one of the many access ports all along the surface. It took both hands to pull it open, but once started, its hydraulics were more than a match for even the building squall. The panel formed a windbreak, and Nick knelt behind it, pulling levers to engage emergency systems. A siren blared, yellow lights strobed, and a metal banister rose out of the surface of the dock. Nick shrugged into a bright blue dock worker's jacket and punched up a police comms frequency. He shouted his ID code as he looked around for the safety equipment. There was always a first aid kit and a harness to go with the jacket. Before an automated voice finished acknowledging his code, he screamed over it. "Prisoner escape in progress! Officer down! Officer needs assistance!" The air sizzled, and Nick watched the access hatch he huddled behind disappear into the distance. Other rounds scored the surface of the dock. He leaped for the banister, hauling himself hand over hand back towards the pier. Risking a look over his shoulder, Nick saw the gunman waving at someone. Then Roland Byrd hammered into him, slamming him to the ground. Nick held on tight, driving his fist again and again into Byrd's head and neck as hard as he could. Byrd was halfway turned away from Nick's blows when the big man stumbled. Nick leaned in to follow up. Realizing a second too late that it was a feint, Byrd's kick took his legs out from under him, but Nick grabbed onto the arms of the orange jumpsuit and pulled with everything he had, headbutting the bigger man. He saw stars. He saw thorns. He saw the Big Bang. Somehow, he didn't let go of Roland. Roland hadn't let go of the banister, but the blow had him reeling. Nick shook his head and climbed over Roland, getting his prisoner's body between himself and the gunman at the end of the dock. He wrapped one leg around the banister, pressed his right hand against Roland's carotid artery, and pushed his left elbow into Roland's shoulder. It was an ugly choke, but he held on as Roland shook like a dog. It started to work. No matter the size, a man's going to fall when he can't get any blood to his brain. Roland fought back, throwing his elbow with everything he had over and over into Nick's side. Nick lost his grip on Roland, and then Roland turned and kicked him free of the banister. He was spinning through the air again, falling, until an invisible hand swooped him up into the air. He looked down, saw nothing but the lights of the city far below, and all of Casti far, far below that. He began to really fall now. He watched Roland struggling in the wind towards the tanker. He watched Roland pump his fist and roar his victory into the wind before the gravity of the world below added its hungry grasp to the winds. The pier disappeared as Nick plummeted into the clouds below. You have been listening to The Rundown, a far-lost story written by John Miro. Learn more at servingworlds.com. Opening music, Everything Is Not What It Appears, kindly provided by Nate Maingard at natemaingard.com. Closing music, Full On by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com. If you like what you hear, you can become a patron and support more stories at patreon.com/servingworlds. Thanks for listening. See you next week.